Well, the sermon title this morning doesn't give a whole lot away, does it? Promises and faith could go almost anywhere. And ordinarily, I try to have a sermon title that goes in a more tightly focused direction, but I realized that it's not that I was all over the place with this. I knew where I was hoping to end up in many ways, but the title never came together, which is a frustration for a particular kind of person. I hope none of you are that kind of person, because it's a frustration nobody needs. But it's just one of those things, and I wanted us to think about promises and faith and how they're connected to each other. And obviously this comes out of, well, primarily our Romans reading, but our Romans reading, as you've noticed, references what was read for us in Genesis as well to a considerable extent. One of the things about promises and faith as they relate to these two readings, as I'm sure you noticed as well, is that the word law keeps coming up. And that's not a big surprise. We want law. And we want law because it makes things easier. Where there's law, things are nice and clear-cut and very straightforward. The law says, do 50 kilometers an hour here, do 100 kilometers an hour there. You don't have to think about it at all. You just obey the law. There's no possibility of figuring out that you should be able to go a little bit faster because you're a better driver, or a little bit slower because you're tired necessarily. The law is the law is the law, and you just obey it and you move on. And we like that. We like predictability and we like things that are clear cut. But there's a problem with the law. Because with the law, law is one of those things that for the most part, it's either all or nothing. Either you keep it or you don't. And when we look at law in the context of promises and faith, we want the promises. We want the promises of God. Now, we probably don't want the exact promise that Abraham got. I know I don't. I'm perfectly happy having, you know, a few kids and a few grandkids and that kind of thing. I don't feel the need to be a father of many nations. I don't think any of the rest of us do. But we want the rest of that whole constellation of promises, because the bigger part of that promise is where God tells Abraham, said, I'm going to be with you, and not just you, but your descendants. I'm going to be with you forever. How did Abraham earn that promise? What law did Abraham keep that God gave him that promise? None. The promises came through grace. Grace, in the shortest and in some ways the best definition I know, grace is God's unmerited favor extended to us. Abraham received that promise because of his faith, not because of the laws he kept. God's relationship with people predates all of the law, the rules and regulations that we see in the Bible. But people want laws, and that's why we ended up with them. The Israelites told Moses, go talk to God, we want laws. Moses said, this is a bad idea. God said, this is a bad idea. But if you insist on it, then laws you shall have. I sometimes think it was, you know, in much the same way that as a parent or a teacher, sometimes you let your children or your students do things that you know are not going to work out well because they learn things. And sometimes that's the only way we can learn. And so we had this law forever, it seems, a law that went back for a long time. And Paul is talking about it in Romans in several different places. But here he says some very interesting things. In verse 14 he says, if those who live by law are heirs, if those who live by the law are the heirs to the promise of Abraham, that's what he's talking about, faith has no value and the promise is worthless. We want that promise. But it appears that if we go searching for a bunch of rules, a bunch of regulations that we will follow, the promise disappears. Because the promise isn't based on what we do. The promise is based on faith. In the translation that Leslie read for us, It says that Abraham believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Reckoned is not a word that we use a lot, at least not as a sort of daily basis. And a number of translations say that his faith was credited to him as righteousness. The righteousness that Abraham had, that connection with God that allows Paul to refer to Abraham as the spiritual ancestor of us all, even though we may or may not have any blood connection to him. He's one of our ancestors in a spiritual sense. That righteousness came because he believed. It came through faith. It didn't come through what he did. It came through the relationship that he had with God. Those promises are an outcome of faith. And the faith that we receive is also a gift from God, as we see in various places in Scripture. We're called to believe that what God says about himself is true. And that's what equips us for righteousness. Not what we do, but who we are. Which is good, because none of us can keep the law perfectly. There's hundreds. I mean, it's not just the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. There's hundreds more that we would need to keep. And most of us put a whole bunch of extra laws on ourselves and the people around us on top of those that we couldn't possibly keep. And what Jesus came to tell us was that the laws miss the point. Jesus got in all kinds of trouble for breaking the religious laws. And what the people who gave him grief about this misunderstood is that Jesus didn't come to break the law. He came to transcend the law, to fulfill the law, to let us see what the law actually is about. Getting together, setting aside a particular day to get together and worship, is a great idea. But if we so change that understanding of what it means to set aside a day for God that we will refuse to do good things for other human beings, we've missed the point. And so when Jesus healed somebody on the Sabbath, he wasn't breaking a Sabbath law. He was saying the point of the Sabbath is that we have a time set aside to remember who we are in relationship with God, and human beings matter to God more than any day of the week. And so healing somebody on the Sabbath isn't breaking a law. It's transcending the law. It's fulfilling the law. It's saying that the law was given because we insisted on it to bring us to God. And when it doesn't work, God will choose another way. These promises come to us through grace, not because of what we do, and not even because of who we are. The promises are given to us because of who God is. And as we exercise our faith, as we become more faith-filled, we understand the promises even more. We don't earn them more. We don't earn them at all. Our faith is what demonstrates our righteousness. Our faith is what demonstrates the reality of the relationship that we have with God through Jesus. It doesn't create it in the sense that it didn't exist before, that we somehow had escaped God's attention until we popped onto his radar with faith. No, God is always reaching out to us first. We want to be more righteous in that old sense of the word. We want to be more of the right people that we should be. We want to have more faith. And how do we do that? Well, Paul says, talking about Abraham, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. That's in verse 20. And it goes on to say, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. We build our faith by exercising our faith, in the same way that we build our muscles by exercising them. But we also build our faith through worship. Because that's what Abraham was doing when he gave glory to God. This is worship, what we do together. But this isn't the only thing that we do to worship. Every time we step outside and we see a sunrise or a sunset or we see whatever it is, it lifts our heart and we, without saying the words out loud, but we express this gratitude to God for the wonderful creation that He made that we get to enjoy. That's worshiping God. Every time we remind ourselves of who God is and how wonderful He is and our connection with Him, that's worship, whether it happens here, because it sometimes does, or it happens when we're entirely alone. Sometimes it happens when we're playing with a baby. Because playing with babies is just one of the best things you can do, as far as I'm concerned. And often, when I'm playing with Eli or Sam, or when they're just asleep, making those little baby noises and those little baby faces, my heart is filled not just with love for them, because they're grandkids and they're connected to me, but to this whole, it's just filled with love. And I don't know where it comes from, except that I know it comes from God. It's not something I could manufacture, or I would more often. And when that happens, when I'm reminded that God gives the gift of life, that's worship. And my faith is strengthened. Promises and faith and promises create a circle. It's a virtuous circle, the exact opposite of a vicious circle. The more we understand the promises as they've been given to us, of all of the good things in our lives, the more we believe that good things are coming from the God who created us and loves us, the more faith we have. And the more faith we have, the more we see the promises. It's not that our faith creates promises where none were there before. Because God gave the faith to Abraham before Abraham knew anything about God. Our faith grows as we ponder the promises, as we see what they might look like for us, because they change with age and they change with experience. The promise of God with me is different now than it was at other parts of my life. In the midst of grief, I needed God as close to me as you are. And He was there. In the midst of joy, God's canopy of joy overtopped me. I don't need that sense of close presence, that comforting of the Holy Spirit. But God is still there, and I have that deep sense that He's there, enjoying my joy and increasing it sometimes even. It's wonderful. And every time I do that, that's a form of worship. We worship together, we worship alone, and every time we worship, it helps build our faith. Every time we believe the promises of God, our faith increases. Every time we think of them and remind ourselves of where we've seen them become alive within us, our faith is built again. Faith and promises, they're inextricably linked. They're connected in a way that they can't be pulled apart. Because as we understand one, the other grows. And as one grows, we understand the better, the other one. We want law because it's a shortcut. But when we think carefully about it, we remember things like where Paul says, the law brings wrath. And where there is no law, there is no transgression. That doesn't mean that our deep understanding of the promises and of faith means that we can do whatever we like. That verse has occasionally been very badly interpreted in some strange directions. No, what Paul is reminding us is that when we're in a deep and significant relationship with someone, we don't have a relationship contract with them. We don't have a set of rules and regulations about how I will behave when you do that. We're in a relationship that has give and take and grows. It's organic. We respond to the people we're in relationship with, whether it's a spouse or a friend or a coworker, not on the basis of a list of rules, but on the basis of the relationship. And it's not that we don't make mistakes, because of course we do. But when I make a mistake with my wife or with my friends, I haven't broken a law. I don't have penalties that I must pay because of this, like a fine for driving too fast. No, I repair the relationship in the context of the relationship, and it grows and is strengthened. Because it's not an issue of transgression, it's an issue of relationship. And that's what God calls us to. Because one of the promises is that he'll be with us, no matter what. One of the promises he made to Abraham is he said, I will be with you. I'll go before you. I'll be with you. And it's the same promise that we receive. And that's a promise of relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that gets stronger and richer over time. Not because there's a list of rules and regulations and laws we follow, but because the God of the universe reached out to us in love and through grace gave us these promises and said, through these promises you will have a relationship with me, and because you have a relationship with me you will have these promises, and as you think about the promises your faith will be built, and as you have faith you will see the promises more, and it all works together, not in a linear law-based way, but in this multi-directional, from everywhere kind of way. Promises and faith. Faith and promises. We want them both and we have them both. And as we think about the one, the other grows. And as we grow the one, the other, the promises become more precious yet. Paul tells us that the law does not do what we want it to do. It just gets in the way. So leave that law-based, legalist, one-answer kind of life behind and move into a relationship with God. The promises and faith just roll together, making you more and more the person you were created to be every day as you worship God, as you believe in God, and as you see his promises in your life. Amen.